The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
We're back, myself, Shane Stapleton, Declan Maron from Ladbrokes, Alan Cawley and Johnny Ward. How are you doing, lads?
Hi, Shane.
Good. Shane.
It's Valentine's Day. It's like we've got a return to sender card from Declan Rice. He's absolutely just told us you are dumped. It's a sickener, isn't it?
This has hurt you bad, hasn't it, Shane?
I've taken it personally. But like, I've been calling him a spoofer for a year. Like,
you put out that. I saw your tweet. I was, couldn't but agree with you, in fairness. Because we have a really shit national anthem, and the fact that he liked that was worrying.
He said it, it's just so catchy. The words right away.
It's no Ireland's call, to be fair.
Ireland's call.
I used to whistle the national anthem in the games.
Did you?
You're not full John Hayes crying and singing every word.
No, I just whistle it. I was like,
you learn to whistle phonetically, like CJ Stander or some of these boys.
The mad thing about Rice is, like, I had every sympathy for his predicament until he chose that he was going to play for England. And I'm not sympathy at all. Like.
That's
just strange.
Enough,
like, I really felt so disappointed. Yeah.
You thought this guy's
really
ours.
Disappointed,
I was, yeah, because I think he's a really good player and I think we could build our team around him.
No,
in terms of his decision, I wouldn't hold it against him, put it that way. Like,
you would.
I probably would, to be honest. But no, it's like, I'm not. He made a decision based on the fact that, like, you know, he's going to be playing in a better English team and he feels English. But just seems a bit disappointing considering how long he was actually attached to us. But mainly, I'm just disappointed because he's a very good player.
Yeah,
and we really could build a team around him.
Oh,
that's never going to happen now.
No, I think he's a serious talent. And people suggest, no, he'd never get a game for England. He'd walk into that team because that's the position that they're crying out for.
Yes. Eric Dyer isn't exactly an
and
amazing
Jordan
hole.
Henderson, you know. So
he definitely will get a run in that team.
It didn't really. I'm not that disappointed about it as such because if he was to declare for us, obviously he'd be delighted because, as Johnny said, he's a great player. But I wasn't all that surprised by the decision because the fact that he's an English lad, he's grown up in England, all that stuff, West Ham. I'm more annoyed at the rule and the system and the setup because it's a shambles that you can play for 4 or 5 years. And fair enough, maybe a 15 or 16, a lad doesn't quite know his mind maybe in terms of making a big decision like that. But once you play under 21s, I think that should be the bar drawn then. And also, once you play senior competitive football, whether it be a friendly or a competitive match, that should be it then. That's your decision made. So the fact that you can play a senior international for a country and then go off and play with another country is absolutely ludicrous.
Is there an element of... There was one thing I disagreed with in his statement, which is he said something along the lines of, I never dreamed that I'd be in this position.
Yeah.
Which is surely nonsense when you're playing for a club like West Ham, you're in that level. You know that you're going to have to declare for one or the other. You're going to think, I'm Irish or I'm English, I'm going to play for one or the other at some stage. There's no way that didn't cross his mind from before. And a lot of people giving him a lot of sympathy in terms of he's chosen England, but he hadn't. It basically, it's not like he's gone with England. He chose Ireland originally and then swapped it out is the main issue. Do you think of that?
But did he choose Ireland initially, or was it just a case of he wasn't getting into the English squads? And obviously Ireland found an angle in terms of his heritage and brought him over the fact that he was eligible, and he just kind of went along with it.
That's surely still a choice, though. His club captain, Mark Noble, who had that option and said, no, I'm English. If I don't get a cap for England, then I won't play.
And that was actually a noble.
Yeah.
You felt like he was actually like...
Right up to the name.
You know, but in fairness, like, you respected Noble for that decision. But the whole Rice thing, it's just... The stuff about the anthem and that, you're just looking back at it now, kind of in hindsight, and you're like,
spoofer.
Kissing the badge and all that stuff. Yeah, there was a lot that kind of has gone against him.
But it's a massive blow for Mick McCarthy because we don't really have midfielders. That's the problem. And he was perfect for our whole midfielder. And if we're going to play five in the middle, which I think we are, he was the anchor man straight away in front of the back four. And now McCarthy's like, he doesn't have that long to actually reassess where we're going now. He's like, well, we're playing next month.
And we don't
really know what our midfield is.
Speaking of a McCarthy, James McCarthy, it was because I think one of his grandparents wanted him to play for Ireland rather than Scotland that he did. Actually, just, you know, the Patrick Bamford who apparently we're looking to get now. When I was giving it the full megaphone on Twitter yesterday, some guy sent me some of his quotes and he says, I'd love to be called up for England, Bamford said. This was after he rejoined Middlesbrough. That's the pinnacle of someone's career, to play for the national team. It is still my aim to play for England, but I have my mum's side of the family who are all Irish and they are pushing me to play for Ireland, but I think I am English and we'll see what happens, but I'm not going to rule out either option.
Now, see, again, that's the rule.
One option. He hasn't turned up and put on the kit and played in a couple of games.
I'd have no issue with him playing for Ireland because he's a good player. Do you know what I mean?
But that's the thing, Johnny.
Like, people don't seem to acknowledge that you can't have a dual nationality. Like, you know,
no, but that's the thing.
As Kevin Caban has been saying, in my view.
No, but while the rule is there, there's always room for these scenarios.
Yeah.
And this is my issue with it. You're either, if the rule should be you were place of your birth and you grow up, you're Irish and that's it, or English. But the fact that now, and I suppose maybe it's just the society we live in and the times we live in, that there is like a lot of dual players and different things. Like young Obafemi, I think, could have played with three different countries. So when you look at that scenario, but I would still be, maybe look, I'm looking at it with blinkers on because I'm Irish and my parents are from Ireland and it was just Ireland. But I think it's the rule that's the problem. And maybe because of this, what's after taking place now, they might change the rule because I think they need to.
You played underage for Ireland. Any of the players that you played for, did they switch allegiances?
Never know. But we had a couple of English lads that we used to bring over. Danny Murphy, and he went on to play with Cork. But Danny was full on English.
Yeah, did it bother you at all? Or were you just like, okay,
no. And
great.
In fairness to Danny, he was coming over like
a Cockney rebel,
like Kilbane, mad for the Irish. Yeah. You know.
And did would you have ever had to sit on the bench for a guy who was born English?
No.
Okay.
But that,
you're too good.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know it wasn't that, but it wouldn't have bothered me because I think Brian was bringing them in and welcoming them in as Irish lads. So
I think Stephen Kenny now will. This will reinforce his idea that, you know, we have our set squad here and we're not going to be courting players, basically. Like.
I think the predicament we find ourselves in as well is that because we're an average team, we can't turn our nose up at players either. But see the likes of that Bamford stuff. Yeah. He's only going to come to us because he can't get a game for England. Yeah. So I'd have no interest in him. Why would you want him?
Because he's better than what we have.
But that's what I'm saying. Again, it's not like, is the way it is. You can have that scenario, but I don't think like, you should have that scenario.
When he like turns up for Ireland and listens to our great national anthem.
Oh, it's so catchy.
He will, and it is a very catchy national anthem. He will put in a shift and he'll play very well. It's not going to make any difference to how he performs, whether he really loves Ireland or not.
Do you like being sloppy seconds?
Well, I mean, we had Ian Morris on the League of Ireland Weekly podcast yesterday, and it was a question I meant to ask him, never got to. Like, he wasn't the original choice for the job, but he's delighted to have the Shelburne job. He's like, he was probably second or third choice for the job, but like,
if he goes on to win a league, who'll care?
Who cares? Like, it's like, you just got to get on with life, and I think we are shorn of attacking players. And
oh, there's no doubt about that, but it's the rule thing, because as you're after reading out quotes where it's his dream to play for England, and in fairness to him, good luck to him, because he's English. Yeah, why wouldn't he want to play?
He's English Irish, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, but, it's like,
but he's more English.
He's more English now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but so you can't have the two. I don't buy this. Yeah, like Rice was saying in the statement yesterday, I love England and I love Ireland. You can't. You can only love one on this Valentine's Day.
You have to understand the dual nationality thing.
800 years of hurt. Like, yeah, you know, and then came Declan Rice.
Are we still
on
about
that?
Not
buying this. Like, you can have. Oh, I love three countries.
Yeah,
he wants to have his rice and eat it. Oh, that's the worst.
So many puns on that. Right. There's been no real update in the betting for this, by the way, just in case you thought maybe Ireland will drift and get a better price about them winning Group D or something like that. They're still 7-2. So it's
become less attractive.
Yeah.
Just forget about them and that's the end of it and move on.
Okay. I just don't know what our midfield is now, though. That's the problem. Like, so where
we don't use our midfield. We boot the ball under.
We are going to play a bit differently. Like, but
Hendrick,
you were talking about it. Nothing else. Played a false nine or played tens in the Irish midfield a couple of weeks
ago. Also, Jamie Carragher was talking about false eights there from Man City recently. Well, we talked about this last week. What's going on? I don't understand anymore. Not sure I ever did. We talk about the FA Cup, the tide around has to be Chelsea, Man United. One of them is going out, which means Man City have it even handier still to win the FA Cup, don't they?
Yeah, 6-5, I think, is it the price deck for Man City at this moment in time? And especially with one of them going to go out, you haven't got much opposition left.
And City have Newport County, which will be very tough for them, obviously.
But I'm looking forward to the game, Monday, because it's interesting from the point of view of obviously Chelsea coming off the back of the humiliating defeat at the weekend and the hammering and I suppose all the cloud that's surrounding Sarri at the moment. And Solskjaer as well was brought down to earth, obviously, with the PSG game Tuesday night and well beaten. They were outclassed.
Outplayed. Couldn't get the ball.
Very harsh reaction.
Oh, the world class. Totally.
Absolutely, but very harsh reaction to Solskjaer considering people have gone back to saying they've beaten nothing now, which is really harsh considering
they,
at this point.
They had...
I wouldn't be harsh on Solskjaer. Like
there was a general reaction of people that were, though.
I didn't think for one second that they were going to be PSG.
I'm talking in hindsight here, but like Man United were 5-4, 11-8.
We were talking 7-4 to qualify last week.
I backed PSG to win 2-0.
Did you?
Yeah, 14-1. Beautiful. I was 100%. I never fancied him because if you look at...
It was a complete overreaction to the two lads being out. Three lads that were...
There was that. That was the only thing that may have given him a squeak, but certainly in terms of the opposition that United have played, and don't get me wrong, we've praised him and rightly so, he's done really well and changed things since he's gone in, but what they were playing against was fairly evident when you come up against the cream of the crop in Europe, and they're nowhere near that level.
I was looking at PSG's team and I was like, they still have Mbappe, like, do you know what I mean? And
Verratti, like, Johnny, was unbelievable.
Imagine trying to manage Mbappe, like, when he's any space. It's like, this is just mission impossible. And just the second goal was just, you could see it.
But I wouldn't, people were suggesting, oh, that's really going to hamper his chances now, Solskjaer, he's not up to it. Not in the slightest. If he gets into the top four, considering where they were when he took over, and has a good run in the cup and beats Chelsea, I think he's still the firm favourite.
Pochettino
to get
beat Dortmund 3-0 though, so I mean, that looks pretty good for his chance.
He's going nowhere.
One thing about this, to put into a betting slant, like, this makes the FA Cup a lot more relevant for them because they're out of the Champions League effectively, and I think they're just the way Chelsea are at the moment, you couldn't back them with any confidence. You can almost feel that Sarri is kind of half losing the dressing room, whether he is or not. But Man United are a big price there, and I still give them a chance to win the FA Cup.
Before we touch on the actual match betting itself, I'll just give you the outrights. 5-4 actually about Manchester City. I said 6-5 a minute ago. Chelsea are 9-2 ahead of United somehow. Manchester United are 5-1, Wolves 9-1, Crystal Palace at 10s, Watford 14s and 16-1 are bigger than the rest. For this game, I think Johnny's fairly bang on. I mean, as we said, City look a good price considering one of those teams is going out, but 11-10 about Chelsea for this one, 12-5 the draw, and 12-5 Manchester United. I think you're bang on.
I don't see them making rapid changes, Ranton. You know, obviously top four is a priority, but like, Solskjaer will know that when the FA Cup would be very important for him.
Yeah, and out of the Champions League essentially, they have a big comeback there. This is probably their best chance of silverware. He'll want, even from a personal point of view, to take something out of this season, I would have thought. And as well as that, it's a funny game, this. It's a team who don't seem to create any chances against a team who give away chances like Manchester United. Do you think the one thing we said about that PSG game is they give a lot of chances to the opposition? I think of that Spurs game where De Gea made like a record amount of saves or whatever it was in that game. They give away opportunities, but Chelsea don't seem to take any, so I don't really know what way this game is going to go. It's a bit confusing. Yeah.
They give up chances because they're an average bunch. Mm. And you get away with that against the likes of Ryan Babel and Mitrovic on a Saturday morning, but you're not getting away with it against Di Maria and Mbappe the other night. And that's the difference. Where United are at the moment, I think it'll be a hell of an achievement for Solskjaer to get them into the top four. Anyone who was suggesting or thinking they'll go well in the Champions League, that's for another day. If they get in the top four, it puts themselves in a much better bracket to strengthen the squad and get rid of the few that they need to get rid of.
Well, their big hope is basically Chelsea and Arsenal are just not really at it at the moment.
They've given themselves an unbelievable chance to be in the top four.
Like, obviously PSG have a different level of players, but Thomas Tuchel gives an idea how to try and negate United. He put Marquinhos, who's obviously class, on Pogba, and he just blotted him
Pogba
out of the game.
I thought Pogba
revealed his true colours a bit as well. Like, in that, like, he's very petulant, like, and he should have been sent off.
It should have been a straight red, never mind a second yellow.
And he did that against Spurs a few weeks ago as well at Dele Alli.
But here's the question for this game then. Does Sarri say, okay, right, the Jorginho thing at the base of midfield, he's a brilliant player, but it's not really working. Do we put Kante back there and just say, you stand on Pogba for the whole game? And
that could definitely happen.
But he won't do that.
He won't change.
I don't think he'll do that.
The frustrating thing looking at Sarri is you look at two players like Jorginho and Kante and think in a different team that works so well. I think back to, for Liverpool even, they would have had Mascherano and Alonso.
Yeah, Alonso.
And how well a midfield like that can dominate a game for you if you use it correctly. He doesn't, whatever way he wants to use them, more in a diamond style and have Jorginho further back, it doesn't work.
The Hazard situation is that's the big elephant
he's
in the room, I think,
well,
and that's I think that he's derailing Chelsea a bit, like, because they were, in fairness, they've had a good season for the greater part of it. But
this is the thing as well about people calling for head. I have a little bit of sympathy for Sarri,
absolutely,
because they've been very good. The only thing, as I said here last week, the only thing that I think has come against them is Giroud and Morata are just not at the level to get your
and what did I tell you about Higuain?
So they brought him in.
What
I
did I tell you?
Okay.
He'll do okay.
He is Morata with less hair and more weight.
Yeah, he will score goals. And Morata's
the suggestion get him out after like he's come in with his principles. So the club should realise that if you're signing him up, this is what he wants to do. I can see exactly what he's wanting to do. Now they're being found out with the Jorginho thing, and this is the question for him. Does he change and go against his principles? So it'll be interesting
to
see.
It's kind of double-edged, isn't it? Because he just won't change, and there is
that
element of...
No, but I suggested the reason that, or the idea that, remember last week, that if you look at City playing Fernandinho and they have De Bruyne or De Silva or Bernardo Silva,
false eight.
Maybe would they not try Jorginho Kante there, and Jorginho is one of the further forward of the three, and get him on the ball that way? But then again, he's not amazing running game.
No,
either, like.
You can respect what Sarri's trying to do in terms of this long term. We'll look better if we stick to this. But say someone, think of like Benitez at the moment. He's about getting results now. It's a results based game. He won't be there long enough to adapt this
game. No, but I think
game,
he's implementing what he wants to do from day one, and I admire him for that, and that's his philosophy, so good luck.
But he's making no tweaks to that team who very, very obviously look, well, that's, no, not working, that's not working, that's not
that's
working.
That's the thing now, because he's been found out in a few games, this is the time, does he make the tweaks? So we'll see. I don't think he will.
It's on the back of their worst loss for 28 years since they lost 7-0 to Notts Forest in 1991. When Roy Keane scored a couple
Stato
of goals.
Stato Stapleton.
Yeah,
really.
Unbelievable. Who's going to win this, lads?
Manchester United. You can get them both teams to score, I think, at about 5-1, or even go halftime draw, full-time Man United at 13-2, which is too big for me. I'll probably follow in that one.
I think we got our bet up last week, did we? United, you got Shane United. Yeah, to win to nail and under 3.5.
I got it wrong for the Champions
I fancy
League
Chelsea
though.
In this.
Yeah? Yeah, at home, Stamford Bridge, Johnny.
Yeah, I fancy Chelsea.
I fancy Man United. The prices, I have to say, I couldn't support Chelsea with confidence. And I think this game, Solskjaer knows it means a lot to the fans as well. And the club will realise that the fans are very much giving him his backing. And it's kind of like government with the people. You kind of want to keep them happy. And they will want to keep the fans happy. And I think he knows that this has become a big priority now after the finishing the top four.
Yeah, after beating Spurs away and Arsenal away, I'd go with United myself. Brighton against Derby is one of the other fixtures in the FA Cup this week.
Frank Lampard's Derby, that is.
Chris Hughton against
They let
Frank
me down
Lampard.
Last night, yeah. Derby. One of those.
Ashley Cole at 38 years of age. He was on Monday Night Football there last week. I thought he wasn't bad.
Cole's a legend.
Do you think so?
Oh, what a player.
Does
Ashley
he not rub you up the wrong way, though?
That's a personality.
Unbelievable player. Never doesn't get the credit at all.
Was he the only world-class player on that England golden generation?
No. Scholes, world-class.
Was he? Ran away when he didn't like the setup of the midfield. No, I'm not going to do what I should do here. Don't want to play left midfield.
Gerrard not world-class, no.
No, I'm just saying sometimes that, like, if you were to talk about the very best 11 players in the world at that time.
Ashley Cole, yeah.
Yeah, was he the only one? Like, was Steven Gerrard the best in his position? And if you're just going best 11 only,
he was world class. That's enough.
Circumstances. Yeah.
You're a coward, Colin. Right, Brighton have lost four of their last five league games. Minus 11 goal difference.
Yeah,
they should win this game, and they drew the other one. But surely they'll still beat a seventh placed championship team.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as straightforward as that now. And again, it'll be interesting to see what teams actually are selected, although you'd hope at this stage of the competition that it'll be quite strong on both sides. But in fairness, Lampard has done a nice job there. They are a decent side. Like, I wouldn't be supporting Brighton with much confidence.
Are you surprised Lampard's done well? Because, you know, you see Steven Gerrard going with Rangers. He's doing pretty well, you'd have to say. Lampard, his
well, it doesn't always work out like that. Just because you're a great player,
Saul Campbell's doing a good old job.
Just because you're a great player makes you a great manager, as we've seen in the past. But I think they're very driven, those two, and they're obviously very ambitious. So it doesn't surprise me that they're doing well now. And I think Derby is probably, well, the two of them are very tough jobs. In fairness, to Gerrard, that was a brave decision, because when I saw him taking that, I said, forget about it, because of how far behind Celtic they were. Now, you could say, is the reason they're a bit closer because of
Celtic
him or because Celtic are kind of dropped a little bit? I'd say it's probably more to do with Celtic dropping a little, because you have Kilmarnock and Aberdeen who are also close. Yeah. So I think it's the standard has probably dropped there.
I wonder as well with Rangers, the fact that they're able to sign Jermaine Defoe and Stephen Davis, are they headed for another financial meltdown?
And they're on loan. I think Bournemouth are paying the wages.
Oh, are they?
They are for Defoe.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Again, probably due to Gerrard's contacts and stuff.
Yeah, and that is great for both Gerrard and Lampard, that their name alone will draw players in, surely.
Well, sure, people were suggesting Lampard for the Chelsea job this week.
That would be nuts, wouldn't it?
The world's nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're all going Brighton here? Or anyone going for a shock?
I wouldn't be surprised if...
I wouldn't say it's nailed on. 40-1 Derby on the outrights and 16-1. Brighton on the outrights doesn't seem a reflection. It's 4-5 Brighton in the match, betting 5-2 the draw and 7-2 about Derby.
How much for Newport to beat Man City?
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute whopper price. I think City are about 1-5. Newport
22-1.
It'll be about that. Yeah, it'll be in the 20s. 28-1.
Oh, anytime score. Get on. He's having some run of a Podge, and he's a great lad.
You get around 3-1 anytime.
This is like something that me and Johnny, obviously from knowing the League of Ireland. It's great to see there's so many young Irish lads dotted around in the lower leagues in England, doing carved out good careers for themselves. And he's another one, Podge. Good luck to him. Joe Shea at the minute is flying
absolutely
flying.
Who's he with now? He was with Middlesbrough and Birmingham, wasn't he, originally when he went over? The Galway lad.
He was brilliant for Galway United.
Unbelievable. I thought he could play at a higher level. He was a serious talent. But he's carved out a good career for himself at Bury, doing well. There's a lot of young lads like that, as I say. So Podge is another one, having an unbelievable time of it. Scored an unbelievable goal, as we saw in the last round. So you'd love to see them do well. But the only thing is the pitch is a bog.
Gives them some sort of chance.
It's some sort of a lever, but
I had that down. City at Rodney Parade should find it tough enough, but we've seen what they do in the cup games. I think the value you're going to have to look for here is a 5-0 is about 17-2, a 6-0 is about 14-1.
I don't think it'll be 5 or 6-0.
No, well, how about first half over unders? You can go over 2.5 in the first half at about 5-2, or over 3.5 goals in the first half at 7-1.
I can't see it being
hammered. Probably sitting a lot in the first half.
You think so? Yeah.
What makes you think that Man City, the juggernaut, 74 league goals already, won't be able to hammer the 15th place team in League Two?
Probably because of the pitch.
That alone.
And the organisation, because there's a lad there, Wayne Hatswell, as well, he was involved, and they do an awful lot of work behind the scenes. You look at the set pieces.
They're 15th in League Two, though.
Yeah, and look, if City were playing them in the Etihad, it could be 10-0.
Yeah.
But honestly, in Rodney Parade, I think it could be just 3 or 4.
11 Premier League hat tricks for Aguero. Is he as good as Shearer?
Oh, unbelievable, Aguero.
But is he as good as Shearer?
Shearer was unreal.
My Valentine back in the day, Shearer.
Different level to Alan Shearer now.
What do you mean?
Aguero, he's...
Is he? Yeah,
are you having a laugh?
He is. I think...
Ah, Johnny.
When Shearer smashed that ball.
Shearer,
it stayed smashed.
And in terms of injuries, I wonder if you compared their career, because Shearer doesn't seem to have missed two. Did he miss one season, I think?
He did
really?
A cruciate with Newcastle.
Yeah, and that was about it. He seemed to play every single game and score so
pretty better stuff.
Plus he was in a lot lesser of a team.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Look at the chances Aguero gets every game.
Yeah. Liverpool against Bayern next Tuesday in the Champions League. Like, if you consider that Spurs hammered Dortmund, who are top of the league, Bayern are second, 5 points behind. Surely Liverpool are, like, you know, Bayern's name is brilliant, huge. They've won the Champions League not too long ago. But
well, the manager there, Kovac, they were calling for his head only a few weeks ago.
Shaky start.
Yeah, it's been iffy enough.
If he's still there, they have a great chance of going through this. If they end up getting Jupinkas back in again for another go, Bayern could win the Champions League. If that's last couple of years or anything to go by, that always seems to have happened. Looking at Bayern's season as well, just having a look at the Bundesliga and some of the stats, Lewandowski has been flying that league for the last couple of years. He's currently being outscored by a Frankfurt player, Luka Jovic. Defensively, Bayern have been awful. They've conceded 24 this year, I think 28 in total last year when it was bad enough and Ancelotti got sacked, and much, much less in a couple of seasons before that when Pep was around 14 goals. And losses this year, they've got 4. That's two more compared to the last 2 years. So there's been a significant slide from Bayern, from the team they have.
I'm surprised about the defence, though, because I was looking at the lineup from the Schalke game the other day that they won 2-1. The back line was Kimmich, Boateng, Hummels and Alaba.
How many of them look shocking for Germany, though, if you go back to the World Cup?
Yeah, I know. But
that was the back four last year when they were doing so well.
Yeah, over the years, they are all excellent players. Like, Kimmich is seen as
Kimmich,
the future
brilliant.
Of Germany.
Yeah. Well, they're calling him the next Philipp Lahm and all, Kimmich, weren't they?
Do Liverpool need this, considering they're going for the title?
This
is
the only thing that would put me off Liverpool a little bit, regardless of Bayern's indifferent. Yeah. It's all eyes on the prize, and all they're worried about is the Premier League. It probably will be no harm, as mad as it sounds, just for this year, for them to go out and just focus solely, because they're in such a good position in the league. Any distractions with the quality that City have, I think they'll come unstuck. And we saw that with the couple of injuries they had last week.
I think, though, with the European lights and Anfield special and all that, actually was lucky enough to be at the last one against Napoli, and it is something amazing. I don't think they're going to drop their guard. And as Dex said, just the stats on them defensively, Bayern, that does not bode well at all, because as Liverpool have wobbled a bit lately, but they're still creating a lot of chances, and I think they'll go through fairly comfortably.
They have heavy fixtures coming up. Like, if you think of it, Man United next weekend away, then at home to Watford, then Everton away. Like, they need to win all these games in the league.
The league's the one.
They'll be beating Everton.
Can they afford to start
their best 11 against Wolves that time? Yeah. That was the best thing that happened.
I think that was different, though. The FA Cup compared, like, in fairness, they did finish second in the Champions League last season. They do have a bit of a mission retrieval there as well. Like,
yeah, no, I'm not suggesting for a second just throw the game. Of course, they won't do that. But it might not be the worst thing if they were to lose.
19-20, the match betting. So Liverpool and odds on price for this one.
I'd be confident they'd win that game.
Yeah, 27-10 the draw, and 5-2 about Bayern, which does look big. You can have Liverpool in the handicap -1 at 5-2. A little bit risky. I'd be thinking more along the lines of Liverpool in the first half at 8-5.
At home, they're very strong in Europe, as Johnny says. They are special nights. So, yeah, you would fancy them at home.
League of Ireland kicking off this week. Fran Gavin announced that the League of Ireland winners will face the Northern Ireland League winners in a new two-legged game at the end of the season. The IFA say no deal reached. And then if you think back to July, the PFAI reacted angrily after the FA announced that they were expected to contribute 50% of a €300,000 fund to help struggling League of Ireland players. clubs pay their wages without consulting the players' union first. So
that was Johnny Ward saying, not me.
The face is on the period. Well.
This is probably not the platform to bash the FAI, but I mean, it wasn't even unexpected that something as shambolic as this would happen. And as Daniel McDonald was saying, it was probably an attempt to cloak the fact that prize money is still non-existent, more or less. There was no good stories to actually bring to the launch, and they brought this, which itself was like a game against the Northern Ireland champions is neither here nor there. I love the Santa Cup, but a one-off game means nothing in the middle of at the end of our season and the middle of theirs. I want to see United Ireland, I want to see an All-Ireland League, blah blah blah, but this meant nothing. And then you find out it's not actually even being confirmed. I mean, the sooner the FAI can like get out of the League of Ireland, and I know Niall Quinn's suggestions about where we're potentially going may seem a bit fanciful, but there's a huge potential in this league, and it will not be achieved as long as the FAI is running it. Having said that, you can make money by backing St. Pat's to be Cork tomorrow night because they're a very good price, I think.
Before we go directly on the match betting, the outrights for this, you've got Dundalk at 4-5, odds on to win the league again. Shamrock Rovers 7-2, Cork all the way out of 4-1, and 9-1 for St. Pat's. And we'll have to take up that 9-1 in a few minutes, Johnny, because I think I alerted you at the time via WhatsApp about this price shift, and you had written a piece on St. Patsy. I think we're about 20-1 at the time.
They were 25-1. I finished the piece an hour later and they were 9-1. And I was like, this does not work at all. So
that's the influence you have, Johnny Ward.
And I didn't bet them or tip them, so I'd not.
Johnny, the influencer Ward.
There you go. So listen.
I do actually like Shamrock Rovers. For some reason, Dundalk should win the league.
Before we get into the football, anyway. Just to come back to the launch stuff, he's 100% right what he says. Like, it was absolutely embarrassing. And every word that he just uttered there, he's 100% right. And in terms of where it's going, I would even add into it, 3 days before the league starting, you have a launch coming off the back of the longest off-season I think we've ever had. 3-4 months when gates are closed, doors are closed, everything is just pushed into the background. So if there was ever a time to be shouting and roaring about the league starting up again, this was the week, or a week ago.
You know, we've spoken about the FA Cup, and like, you know, obviously clubs don't prioritise it because financially it's better to finish like 8th in the Premier League or whatever it is, blah blah blah. I think it's like it's like 1 million difference, I think, for finishing one position to the next down the table. There's no prize money in Ireland, and people think this is acceptable.
It's costing money.
There's literally no prize money. So how do you run a professional league in a very, very advanced first world country with no prize money? Do you know what I mean? The only way they can get money is by selling players and making it into Europe, which itself isn't necessarily a cash cow anyway. And people think this is acceptable, that there's no prize money. Like, it's an absolute disgrace.
Strange thing on the launch as well. Was Stephen Kenny there?
Well,
but I think
to the
he's the man of the error of to link the league and the FAI.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, very much would
like
be the
people
poster
talk
boy
about
for that.
The marketing and the promoting of the game and all. Yeah. Like, it's staring them in the face. If we ever had a more ideal figure in terms of promoting and marketing, Stephen with his background, he's going to manage the national team in 2 years. Like,
Mick McCarthy was there and no one spoke to him. Apparently, he was there with the FAI and no one had a chance to speak to him, or maybe didn't have the chance. Maybe there was a
thankfully
chance to speak
Declan
to him,
Rice delayed it a day anyway, you know.
Exactly, but even having it on the day of, like, I looked at the papers yesterday and it was all about United and PSG. There wasn't a mention, a little corner.
Well,
and the only reason
fair,
there was a corner
was
because of Fran Gazan's announcement.
Yeah, to be fair, the racing being abandoned got it nearly a full page in the Irish Times, I think, which is spectacular stuff.
But
so
all that aside, I'm actually very excited about the league. I think,
but that's because Johnny as well, the stuff on the pitch is really good. It's the stuff that
if you look at St. Pat's, like, in fairness, Daniel laid me 50-1 over a few pints, which I'm happy enough with. But in fairness, they've made very good signings.
50-1 for what?
Yeah, to win the league.
No, home this weekend.
You've kind of notoriously had a few of these, haven't you? Weren't you?
In fairness, they don't usually win, but it's 50-1. You only need one of them to click in your lifetime.
Exactly. Well, they've Chris Forrester back, and they've good options up front, like in attacking positions with Gary Shaw, Mikey Drennan, Brandon Meal, and Dean Clark. So
they've very, very solid team, Pats, and I think they'll go off favourites to be Cork. I think Cork have serious questions to answer
this
season.
They've lost 9 players.
They've lost a load of players. The players they've signed are
Kevin
a mixed
O'Connor.
Bag now. Kevin O'Connor is probably going to play midfield. Very good left foot in him. The guy they signed
Gary
the other
Boyland,
day.
James Tilly, Darryl O'Connor, Gary Comerford and Darragh Rainsford.
They're nowhere near the level of what's gone out the door.
I don't think they have a prayer
on the
win
players the like, sadly, or McNamee, who they've lost. who I think I talked to you about this a good while ago, Johnny, didn't fit the system at all. No, they were misused. But I mean, one of the big parts of this season, I'm really looking forward to seeing Barry McNabee at Derry, because he'll just be able to play a free
role.
Made
him captain as well.
Yeah, it'll be excellent. It's going to be really enjoyable to watch a really good footballer play with the shackles off a little
Absolutely.
Bit
like, even Ronan Coughlin signed for Sligo. I think he's a lot better than he showed at Cork. I thought he was a good player at Bray, and I think he'll be. I think a lot of the players at Cork have moved on will do well, particularly Sadlier, who's a very good player.
Well, there's a reason you have to ask why they're moving on. And the reason they're moving on is because exactly that. They weren't happy with the way they were being played, the way they were being utilised.
I think that's what it was. Like, in fairness, John, like, I'll say this again. I don't like John Caulfield's style of management, but I think he's done a really good job. I'm just not sure he can take Cork any further. And this season, I don't think they're anywhere near title contenders. And I think Pats have more of a chance to win the title than Cork.
But to be taken, they don't necessarily
have to be... And they're
outsiders
to beat them at home.
They don't necessarily have to be taken any further if, say, things like Stephen Kenny leaving affects Dundalk, if Shamrock Rovers basically don't kick on the way they should have. Now, Stephen Bradley was talking about his team is a lot more settled this year. They've not had to kind of... I think Steve McPhail was at the launch talking about...
He's made very few changes.
Not a whole lot of recruitment bar...
But the recruitment has been done over the last... Like, the thing with Shamrock Rovers, like, everything, again, that Johnny's saying, I would agree about Pats, Cork, all those points he's making, he's bang on. The Cork thing... Like you're saying there, they might not need to improve as much as they have. They will need to improve because Pats have strengthened far better than what Cork have. Shamrock Rovers have been accumulating the players over a period of time. That's why they only brought in one or two. But the one thing they needed to bring in was the centre forward, a key one. Now, they signed a lad yesterday who's a complete unknown.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. But they were 22 points behind in 2017, 25 last year. Yeah. So if ever a club needed to... mount a serious challenge, and I'm not just saying get in the top four, they need to be challenging this year or else Bradley will
without,
be gone
without a doubt.
He's 2.5 years there, like,
well, I will say they finished last season very, very well. Like, they went, they conceded something like 2 goals in 13 games,
but that was because they sorted out the issues, Johnny, that goalkeeper. Like the goalkeeper.
But in fairness they did sort out, they got Manus in. Defensively they're pretty sound, they've an abundance of talent in midfield,
brilliant players in midfield.
It's just whether they score enough goals. This Austrian guy they've signed, he didn't impress apparently in their last pre-season game, but
it shocked me that everybody can see clearly, like, the players that have midfield very good, as Johnny says, defensively are very good. It was staring everybody in the face. It was like the goalkeeper issue going back the previous year with Chachinski. Everybody could see he wasn't up to the level, and they waited 6 months to bring Manus in, and then things changed for them. Everybody can see that they need a centre forward if they're going to overtake the likes of a Dundalk or Cork, yet they've gone 4 months without signing one, and here to sign one yesterday.
They did bring in two players, and they also have Trevor Clark back. Shouldn't lose sight of that. He's a smashing player. So it's like, a lot of games Rovers played, they're going to have an awful lot of the ball because of their midfield conglomeration of players. And it's just like, if Dan Carr gets... I actually like Dan Carr. I'm just not sure he'll get quite enough goals. He's a good player, but...
You probably won't need him to get 20, but the players playing off now.
You need a centre forward to get 20.
If they keep the amount of clean sheets they tended to keep at the end of last season, they will win a lot of games 1-0, I think.
Thinking back of Dundalk, McMillan as a striker up there, he wasn't necessarily a 20 goal a season.
He was actually linked with Rovers. He would have been a perfect fit for Rovers, I think. But I'm going to say 7-2, it mightn't be a great price.
I agree with him. People might.
I do give them a big chance this season.
I'm the same. I'd give them a big chance.
I presume they'll beat Watford at home. Watford fourth last season.
Might just preview a few Rovers matches individually on the bet then, because we've got Pats 7-4, 21-10 about the draw, and 7-5 about Cork. Johnny, you were keen enough on Pats, I'd probably agree with you.
Yeah, like, you should draw on a bet. They should be at the very worst even money there. And I do not see them losing this game. I think Pats are going to have a very good season, and I do not envisage Cork. I would be confident enough Pats will be very close to Cork or ahead of them at the end of the season.
The live game tomorrow night is Dundalk and Sligo Rovers.
You get a chance to see Big Al.
Big Al, making my debut.
Lovely.
RT have gotten rid of a lot of talent.
Well, it's not the debut. Like,
they've held on to you.
Seasonal reappearance.
Season campaigner.
You're not sure about Sligo.
Not sure about Sligo at all, Johnny.
Well,
yeah,
the betting for this just before 1-5 Dundalk, 9-2 the draw, and 12-1 about Sligo. Yeah. So, as much as
that looks big, I would be seriously worried for Sligo.
They signed Nigerian striker Brennan Ogbu, but he doesn't have the work permit.
It's not happening. I don't think it's
happening. Is it not
happening?
Yeah. Oh, which was a disaster. Because of the work permit, is it?
Well, I don't know, but.
Yeah. Which is Ronan Murray and Ronan Coughlin.
And he's injured Murray tomorrow.
That's a big blow. I didn't actually know that. That's a blow.
For the season, though, that's a big signing because they've been crying out for a player.
Well, that was the thing. Like, in fairness to Buckley, when he came in, the first two signings were John Dunleavy, very good signing, unlucky with injuries, John, but a good, really good player. and he'll find a new lease of life at Sligo. So it was good move for him as well. Murray is obviously a very good signing and a very good player. So I was thinking, here we go now. This is the start of some good signings coming in. And after that, I think the recruitment has been very much kind of...
I'm just not sure their budget though, Alan, is good enough to recruit players.
Surely you can be recruiting better than what they have, John.
I'm
bringing in the lad there that Shane mentioned. Nobody even knows.
I think Coughlin will do well under Coughlin.
But again, you're signing them the day before the league season starts.
I know it's not ideal for tomorrow, but in fairness, if they lose to Dundalk, it's not the end of the world. Dundalk should be beaten. They will probably lose that game. But I think going forward, I think the Scottish guy they lost... to Pats.
Well, this is the thing, right? You lose Drennan, you lose Rhys McCabe, you lose Raff, you also lose... Drennan's a massive one as well, because he was the one getting the goals. I worried where they're going to score the goals, Sligo. So over the course of the season, I don't know, I'm not saying to be relegated, but I think they'll be down there or thereabouts.
Dundalk with 4 titles in 5 seasons. Still a great spine to the team, like Gary Rogers, Gartland, Shields, Hooban. Won the President's Cup last weekend, 2-1 down in Cork. Is it going to be business as usual with Vinnie Pert?
The only thing you'll say is they've lost Stephen Kenny, and Vinnie Pert is not proven as a manager. I don't think Vinnie was by any means a bad appointment, but Rory Higgins has come in alongside him. He's not proven as a manager, and that is something that is a little bit of a concern. Also the fact that he was the assistant, and he was seen as the assistant, and Kenny was the man. But against that, you can't really pick any holes in the team. It's really, they've lost Stephen O'Donnell. I don't think that should be understated, but he was injured so often that they obviously got on without him.
They kept Michael Duffy.
They
kept Shields, kept Benson. Over the last 2 or 3 years, if you look at them with the success, they've always lost 2 or 3 best players. They're after keeping them all this year. Vinny's walking into a ready-made squad, ready-made assembled team. So, and in fairness, he's
sub goalie as well, and it's supposed to be very, very good. Like, and Gary Rogers is getting on a bit. And that's another thing that shouldn't be, like, because I think they suffered in Europe when Rogers was on the form that time.
The only thing I think that probably gives hope to the others is the whole Kenny thing, because I think it's a good appointment. The fact that there's continuity there, and Vinny knows the players, knows the squad. In fairness to him, he obviously contributed a lot as well. It wasn't just Stephen, but at the end of the day, Stephen was the manager, and he was the one driving the whole thing, creating the environment, all that in terms of the standards that they reach. I think a lot of it is player driven out, to be fair to the group, because they're a really good group of lads.
I was thinking of this the other day. If you look at the fixtures Dundalk are going to have week to week, if Dundalk are playing Shamrock Rovers, if Dundalk are playing Cork, if Dundalk are playing Pats, if Dundalk are playing Derry, if Dundalk are even playing the likes of Bowes, I don't see them as formalities in a lot of those games. I think they're going to face stiff opposition week in, week out this year.
Oh yeah, but I think that's why the league, because this is the angle and the way I'm looking at it, I think that's what the whole Kenny coming out of it makes it more competitive for the others. And the fact that Pats have strengthened, as we mentioned, Shamrock Rovers look a lot stronger, take Cork out of it, but it'll still be a difficult game, like, by no matter who
Absolutely.
To play. So I do think, and I'm hoping as well, because the last 2 or 3 years it's been them two running away with it, and Dundalk being the standout team. And as much as I admire them and love to watch them and everything they've done, good luck to them, you want to see a bit more 4 or 5 teams kind of in the race.
Head on the block then for Sligo Dundalk.
It's Dundalk easily, I would have said, that should run away, but it just depends.
-1, what price are the -1?
Yeah, you get it. It wouldn't be amazing. You need to go -2, you need to go further up. 1-5 in the match betting, so you're talking, about 8-11 if less for -1. It's a tough game to find value on, really.
I wouldn't be lumping on Dundalk now, to be honest.
I wouldn't either.
Certainly not a 1-5.
Johnny's probably got it nailed on. Pats are probably the value in this one. I think Rovers may be a little bit overpriced as well, just a quickly touch on their
game.
Well,
Watford are the... I didn't mention Watford there. Yeah. Watford are the team that obviously beat Dundalk last season, but you're like, you're just looking at them. They've made late signings. They didn't sign players on.
Damien Delaney, though.
I thought that was a strange signing. I'm a massive fan of Rennie. Yeah. I was surprised at Damien Delaney. I thought he looked gone at the game.
But again, Johnny, if you look at that, like, I wouldn't judge him on the Cork thing. That could have been the whole environment thing. He just looked like,
but you can't blame John Caulfield for him not having any pace, though. Do you know what I mean?
Some of the touches he was making those games.
Well, you wouldn't judge him in that one game. They've
signed JJ Lunny, Watford, who's an excellent player, and they've Akinade back. And they
lost
Doofus. They lost Doofus. Obviously, the keeper was gone as well.
They got Limerick's midfield from...
Yeah.
They punched way above their weight in terms of getting the top four.
They're a good side, though.
A good side.
It's just, I'm not sure where
they're
at.
They won't
be
in the top four this year. Yeah.
And the betting in this, I think it's reflected poorly. 11-5 for Waterford, 19-10 to draw, and 6-5 about Shamrock Rovers.
I think it's a fascinating game deck, because there's a lot of pressure on Rovers to basically start winning straight away.
They need to hit the ground running.
If they don't win tomorrow, they're already like, well, we're chasing Dundalk already.
That's the reality of it.
They have started slow in the last couple of years
which has killed them. Because the last 2 years, they've always been chasing. 8. Mm.
6-5 for me looks short, but I think they start this well. I think they win it. As a double with Pats has you in pretty good stead for the two of those together. Before we move on, can I get outright prediction then for winner and top scorer?
I'm with Rovers. I don't know if you've odds on the top scorer, but it's very, very hard to look beyond Patrick Hogan.
2011 since Shamrock Rovers won the league.
Yeah,
and our size.
And that was just an isolated one. Yeah. It was back to the before well, that. It was kind well, of this, back
the odds 90, on best
well,
top
won
scorer.
2010 and 2011. Yeah, and before that was 94.
Yeah,
he was what a man. But the odds on top scorer is where you might eke out a bit of value.
Well, not with Hogan. Not with Hogan. I know because he's 5-2. For top scorer, so very short.
5-2 could be value.
You've got 6-1 about Mikey Drennan, Graham Cummins at 7s, Vojic.
Drennan is the value one.
Georgie Kelly 10s, Dan Carr 12s, and then it gets bigger than that. Dinny Cork and 14s.
Like we mentioned there when we were talking about Aguero and Shearer. Hoban is like that in this league because the amount of chances they create, he gets 5 or 6 chances.
5-2 is nearly a bet on him not getting injured.
His brother's centre back for NUIG hurlers as well, by the way.
Patrick is a good hurler by all accounts.
Does he call himself Hoban or Hoban?
I think he called.
Well, I was asking one of the selectors on the NUIG team recently, and he said Hoban. So, okay, you know.
In any event, I would definitely advise a bet at 5-2.
Yeah, I'm
just
saying.
Before we move on, one more just slight upset potentially there. Derry are odds on for their game against UCD. UCD have a nice little team, a very settled little team.
I was actually looking at that
4-1.
I could easily see UCD win that game. Derry have an awful lot of new players in. As much as I like Declan Devine, it's not going to be an overnight job there.
Not.
UCD, they're the one club, they're like Spurs. They've made literally no signings at all. I think they've lost Sloggett and Darragh O'Connor.
And I was going to say, that's 4-1.
I saw UCD last season. UCD will love the Brandywell. They love the big pitch, the 4G pitch. They'll pass it around. They were very, very good in the Dolphin Cup last season.
The only thing, and again, I like them, and the job Colley has done is amazing, but it is a step up.
He says all they're missing is fans.
Well,
it's one thing UCD need to, they should need to drive that next. Get people to go to their games. It's
great to watch as well.
They're very enjoyable to watch. They're going to be playing very enjoyable teams to watch as well.
In terms of the league and how they're going to fare this year, though, Sloggett's a massive loss. Like everybody talks about Gary O'Neill and the influence has. I think Sloggett's
actually a better player.
Player. And he's gone to Derry, interestingly enough. He'll be playing against them tomorrow. But also, for all the nice football to play, will they just penetrate enough in the Premier
League? Look out for Neil Ferrugia. He's going to be a smashing player. He's called up to Kenny's home based under 21 squad. If you get the chance,
I don't fear for UCD in terms of relegation. I think they'll be fine.
I think they'll be okay. If you get the chance, watch UCD. You'll really enjoy it. And I hope a lot of the students do. I think Derry could be in for a surprise here.
4-1 to beat Derry for me is just far too big.
Next week we maybe talk with the first division, which is actually a shorter price favourite than Dundalk.
We'll move on to the racing, lads. We had the equine flu last week, delayed all the racing, but it's back going again, Declan.
Yeah, well, just about. We've had kind of trouble with declarations and stuff the last couple of days, so it makes it a little bit difficult to look ahead to the UK racing, so we won't spend too long at that. We'll, I suppose, briefly touch on the stuff at Ascot, because there was a double I mentioned last week, which you could still get on, but it's much, much shorter. Clan de Zobo in the Demon Chase, and then in the 355 Waiting Patiently. Both were second fives last week, so you would get a bit of value, but both are going to be short price favourites for this one this week. Clan de Zobo 2-5. Can't really see anything in the field at this.
Waiting Patiently was travelling grand as well. You know, he's it's very hard to see beyond them. We also hopefully are presenting Percy at Gorn, Deck.
Yeah, well, that's if we kind of skip on past Ascot then, because there's not really a whole lot you can get into. One just to look out for, if he does run Royal Vacation, I'm not sure if he's actually been taken out of that one with Clan de Zobo, but that'd be the forecast for me, one for Conor Tizard to look out for. But
just at the moment, you're 15-8, top price Waiting Patiently. That's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. He'd probably be one of the bankers looking at that field at the moment, because there's not really a whole lot that can trouble him. How are you feeling then, Johnny, about this race on Saturday at Goran? Looks like it could be a beauty. It could potentially be the one we wanted the Gold Cup to be.
Yeah, I'd be just a little bit reluctant to back present Percy at the price, because I think over the trip Monalee has a chance of beating him. He obviously smashed him in the RSA, but over 2.5 miles I think it'll definitely be closer. Monalee skipped the race at Leopardstown when all the non-runners on the ground. And presenting Percy, he's not going to be 100% for this. His aim is to win the Gold Cup. And Monley's not going to win a Gold Cup, but he might beat him over 2.5 miles. I think he'll run a big race.
Just so I get the betting here at the moment, you're looking at 8-11, as you said, for presenting Percy. 5-2 about Monley. And then I think it's about 6s or bigger the rest. Anything to be said, I know they're entered elsewhere, but you've got the likes of Bacchus on a Cloltevic in here. Cloltevic for me was I wouldn't say a cliff horse, but if you look at that Irish Gold Cup, I had him that one where he fell. he was. I think that was a bit of a nice little roundup for his career, Cathal Devic, that Irish Gold Cup, because he's going so well. He was nailed on to win that, and he fell, and he just hasn't really run
that
since.
Kind of defines his career. Yeah, but he's a very talented horse,
massively.
And in fairness to him, you know, he's.
He's only one and a half length behind Presenting Percy last time, so maybe at the prices at the moment is the value at 6-1. Depends if he goes now, but
if he runs in it, I could see him run a big race. He's and that, like, his first run over hurdles this season, I thought, is this horse, is he anything left? But his run the last day was much, much more like it. And Willie's horses are more or less in form again. Hope the three of them turn up. It's not going to be a cakewalk for Presenting Percy at all if they both turn up.
No,
over 2.5 miles.
I have a feeling, looking at it, you would think one or the other will go. One will go to that one on Sunday at Navan. One or two just further around the bottom. You've got the likes of Annabelle Fly, who's maybe been a little bit unlucky with the running this year as well. Hasn't really had much of a chance. In there, I think at about 8-1 in the betting at the moment. And even Alpha de Zobo was one I kind of was. I suppose grown fatigued on towards the end of his time with Mouse, switched to Gordon, and he looks very, very competitive.
Hell of a run
again.
The Tyeste is off top weight, but again, over 2.5 miles is kind of hard enough to see him beating these. I just looking at there's 8 of them at the moment. You just hope that sort of 5 or 6 turn up. Annabelle Fry is an interesting horse to view the Gold Cup as well. I could see him running well in the Gold Cup. He's a big price, but what a race we have. I should mention Dundalk as well tomorrow night. I like giving degenerate kind of Dundalk tips. Joseph O'Brien. The quality he has with 4-year-old hurdlers at the moment is beyond astounding, basically. But he's a horse called Cerberus running in the Mile Maiden, I think, which is Carl Freebet for Lengths Maiden. I can mention Carl because they're obviously colleagues of Ladbrokes. That's the 5:30 Cerberus. And another horse I should mention, Stephen Mooney, is riding Roman Warrior in the 6 o'clock. I like that each way.
Just one to mention as well, as you said, Joseph O'Brien's, because you've got the Ladbrokes Boyne Hurdle at Navan on Sunday then. Favourite there is going to be Charles Burns, Off You Go. He's 4 out of 5 over the last while. He beat Jetski, led JP's 1-2-3 at Leopardstown there the other day. But you've got Durasso in here for Joseph O'Brien as well. He was 5th in the Galmoy and pushed back a son of Punchestown over 2.4 miles. He's a listed winner back in France, and he's about 11-2 in the betting for that at the moment. I think that looks really cracking bet. Just before we moved off totally, though, I did mean to bring up Monley. We've been talking Monley up a lot over the last few weeks. Go back through his form. The same thing keeps happening to him at the... Is it about 2 out? He's fallen, he's stumbled, and he's just sort of slown up and not really gone any further. 2 out over the last couple of races over 3 miles.
He still finished 2nd in a 3-mile grade one at Christmas, you know, which was a hell of a run.
But that was at the point where you knew he wasn't going to win. It was about 2 out where he sort of chucked it in against Kemboy even. So what I'm starting to wonder, is there an issue with him? Maybe not over the trip, but maybe it's just a coincidence, I
definitely wouldn't knock his resolution, because last year the fall he got at Leopardstown, apparently his head was in bits after it, and he then came back and won over 2.5 when he beat Album Photo and a couple of others by like a neck, and he was incredibly brave that day. I'm not sure about him as a 3-mile horse, but over 2.5 ridden aggressively, I think he'll run very well. But that horse you mentioned of Joseph's, he did not get the 3 miles at Gorham, but he's definitely a horse I'm interested in going forward.
Some interesting stuff coming up this weekend. Plenty in the GA as well. Just a quick word on, there's no Gaelic football this weekend, certainly not at inter-county level. There are All-Ireland Club semi-finals. But a quick word on Kerry Dublin from the weekend.
Brilliant.
Did any of you see it?
Brilliant.
It really was fantastic.
It was fantastic, yeah.
It just shows what Gaelic football can be.
As we've all said about the league,
Dublin need to be taken out of Croke Park more as well, because it's just, I think they're probably worth
better spectacle.
Put a Super 8 game in Parnell Park and it would be unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And even the odd championship game down the country.
What's the Parnell Park?
It's irrelevant. It is irrelevant, though, if Newbridge was able to hold a qualifier game last year, you're not going to get to every game in life. What's the point in having a game in a half-empty Croke Park where there's zero atmosphere?
It's half-empty in a Super 8 now.
Oh, sure, it was last year. And it was 50, like, 000, it was funereal at times. No, yeah. Dublin Donegal, it was like being...
Yeah, that game was dead.
Oh, my God.
But imagine
horrendous.
That game in Ballybuffet, or even the game in Oma. Now, they were fairly comfortable. At the same time, it was a 4-point game. And you see them, they were beaten in Clonus. They were obviously beaten in Tralee. So you're like, Dublin don't quite look as invincible. Croke Park's probably worth 4 or 5 points to them, really.
And as well,
It's a big advantage, isn't it? Huge advantage.
But football is not dead. Like, when you see a game...
Oh, no, do you know what I mean? Then again, sure, there's only one fella who was telling us it was
Monaghan,
dead.
Yeah. Monaghan and Galway. Galway have serious issues at the moment in terms
Monaghan
of how we're playing football.
Monaghan and Galway was septic. Like, yeah. It was so bad.
It's funny with Galway because Kevin Walsh, the amount of Galway fans I'm talking to are not happy with Kevin Walsh.
Now, I listened to a fella...
Because of the way we're playing football.
Now, I listened to a fella, though, Johnny, who was at the match and he says the telly didn't reflect the conditions at all, that apparently it was just one of them blustery, horrible days.
You don't have to put 15 men inside your own 45.
No, I know that, Shane. Look, I agree in terms
of... Did the wind blow him back?
I agree in terms of, obviously, the football's not as eye-catching as what some of the other counties play. But I think to judge them on that one in particular, sure, to beat Monaghan.
So it's all a means to an end.
No, but to beat them.
They beat them in a league.
But I'm saying, apparently, like, if you, unless you're there, the conditions were apparently woeful.
They were
like,
bad, yeah.
That young Walsh is an unbelievable player for Galway.
Yeah.
Like, they should be building everything around him.
He was very selfish in the first half. These pot shots from nowhere. And you're talking about the conditions, and this lad's having pot shots from the 45.
Were you at the match?
I was watching it abroad on the telly.
How do you know he was having pot shots? They picked him
well,
out.
Well, I watched the match and he was having pot shots.
They picked him out in the Sunday game and he was unbelievable.
So you watched all highlights and you're going to talk all about him here, yeah?
Well, Kerry look half interesting though for the championship if they can. Defensively, you just wonder about them, but the attacking quality they have.
And they found some. They found some players. As
yeah, Jamie O'Shea, Sean O'Shea, unbelievable.
Yeah. You saw the highlights, you did.
Yeah. I watched it live actually. When we talked about the Andy post at the start of the year, we talked Kerry up a little bit, and Bernard was, I think, at the time a little bit reticent to think that they could in any way challenge around. Maybe he was referring to the championship more than the league.
It's just defensively, Dick. You just, yeah. You
but
just
your man has made a difference defensively. Yeah. The new manager.
Yeah, there's clearly something there. There's a bit of spark in these opening couple of games.
The only thing I would say, the only thing from taking away from that, I think it was good for the game that Dublin got beaten again, but Curry had to play at their ultimate level to beat them, and Dublin were still only within a point that it was injury time.
With the man down.
It just showed
with no Kilkenny, no McMahon, no Jerry McConnelly, no Cluxton.
Yeah, they were down plenty of key players, and it was well, think of how Conor O'Callaghan was able to solo through for a goal in the first half, as did Paul Mannion as well.
Mannion's goal.
That's going to happen.
They're attacking six. Well, actually, the whole team, you're just like, I mean, I'm not sure what their midfield is going to be this year, but Fenton and whoever, probably McCarthy. Where is the hole in that team? I don't see it.
Like. The only thing is, did you see when Tommy Walsh went up full forward that James McCarthy had to go back full back then because they didn't like Johnny Cooper matchup with him? Now, Philly McMahon will be there during the championship unless he's injured, so maybe that's not a big deal. But it just shows that Kerry have perhaps posed a question or two to Dublin that they weren't.
Well, it's the one thing that Dublin weren't really challenged on last year was high ball into the full back line. And it was rare
to get in there.
It is, but in fairness, like Tyrone, it was a bit of Hail Mary stuff at the end. Tyrone used it to effect. Galway used it to effect. Obviously, the goal that Comer got.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that probably wasn't because it's such an obsessive possession game at the moment. You shouldn't lose sight of the fact that a high ball into the full forward is still very, very
hard
to defend.
Especially if you're a fella about 6'3".
Yeah.
You know, so there's no harm in that.
Let the ball do the work.
They won't want to get carried away, Kerry, but they're 4-1 for the All Ireland. So why not have
that? I think in terms of them with the new manager, it'll give them loads of confidence, but I don't think they'll be getting too carried away.
No, I can't see an All-Ireland this year. They'll probably walk through
Dublin,
Munster again.
Dublin, like. It's what Dublin price are Dublin to win it?
About 4-7 or something like that.
Yeah, the drive for 10 is on.
I wouldn't rule Mayo out. I think Mayo will do okay this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to be better again this year. And they've got a couple of new players going through as well.
Which they
need.
Yeah. I wouldn't be as downbeat about the football championship as some people are, but I mean, then you look at the hurling and you're like, well, maybe we should be talking about
the only problem with that, Johnny, and I'm the same, I've said this last year even when we're making all the changes, I don't think it's as bad as people make out. But for the league format, which is brilliant, and these great games that we're talking about, we'll go through about 3 months or 4 months of a complete non-event, and then you'll have good semi-finals.
Because you've good teams against
bad
teams for provincial championships.
It's the format. It's
but the only thing, people say that, but at the same time, Mayo did not make the Super 8s last year because they lost to Galway and Castlebar, and their season was screwed up after that. So the championship still does matter. The provincial championship, Leinster doesn't, but in fairness,
certain provinces matter.
Connacht and Ulster still definitely matter.
It's fairly boring.
You're trying to make the Super 8s, and Mayo didn't make Super 8s. You've got to remember that last year.
We'll just talk about the All-Ireland Club semi-finals just before we get to hurling.
You accidentally did just mention, though, the drive for 10. You can get that about 11-1. Right. You fancy the drive for 10
on the pulse. Oh, brilliant deck.
Will you be alive? But, you know, it's kind of like how long more can I survive?
The club semi-finals this weekend: Carfin against Gweedore and Dr. Crokes against Mullinocta. So it's the two big hitters against the small villages. So it's a tough one to call. Like, do Guido have a chance? They've the McGees, Kevin Cassidy, they've Oran McNeely, who's an excellent footballer. I would see, right, they've played Kevin Cassidy full forward. Would Corfin like to have him play full forward on their 37-year-old fullback, Kieran Fitzgerald, 2001 All-Star? That would be ideal for Cara Finn, because they're like, okay, he'll be able to keep with him. If I was Guidor, I'd be putting Keane Mulligan, who's probably about 5'5", 5'6", but absolute lightning in there, and say, we'll put a load of space in there, see how the 37-year-old likes it. So that's the only massive chance I'd give. Cara Finn have been here so many times. Guidor played a challenge against St. Bridges of Dublin a couple of weeks ago in Dublin. Cara Finn had a couple of cameramen there watching him.
Really, yeah.
So Bielsa would have been proud.
Yeah. So he would have.
2-5 for Cara Finn. The draws are 15-2 and Guidor 5-2. There's 2 points in the Hannah gap.
Oh, and back the 2 points.
Was that an open friendly?
Well, I presume so. I'd say.
So they're allowed to do that?
Yeah, I know, but it just shows that, like, how did they even hear about it? You know, that's what I'm saying.
It's the year of WhatsApp, though. Yeah. It's, you know,
it's
information.
How did they hear about it?
You mentioned.
I know, but here was enough time to get up there with cameras, you know.
Plenty of Galway men in Dublin.
Yeah, it's true for you.
You did mention Mulligan as well. He's 12-1 if you fancy.
Naive from that stable.
The other semi-final, Dr. Crokes against Mullinocta. Mullinocta's element of surprise is gone at this stage. I think they beat Kilmacud Crokes.
They had their day in the sun.
Mm. Yeah. And as well, their manager Mickey Grahams after taking over Cavan.
It's probably hard.
How much has he been able to focus on Crokes and study them, because he's studying teams for Cavan's benefit?
Oh, and Crokes are very strong, aren't they?
Yeah, they're 1-12 here.
Oh, good luck.
So, yeah. 14-1 the draw, 7-1 about Mullinocta, and 7 points in the handicap on that.
Yeah, I think Mullinocta will get inside the handicap. There's some really good players, but yeah, it'd have to be Dr.
Do we, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, even money, Mullinocta plus 7, so that's not too bad.
See, how much is all that adulation and all that kind of stuff, that's like, once that wears off and you're back to the normality stuff.
They had 12 weeks, they'll be alright.
They'll get hammered.
They probably boozed hard for a couple of weeks. I'd say they'd be okay now. As long as you don't keep the boozing going on for 4 or 5 weeks.
No, but I mean, that was their achievement. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To go any further, I can't see it.
We'll move to the hurling then, because there are some great games this weekend. The one that stands out has to be, well, actually, there are two that really stand out. Galway against Dublin, because Matty Kenny, a Galway man, is going back home with Dublin. And then Kilkenny versus Limerick, because Limerick have really shaped themselves up as Kilkenny in the last year.
Tipped to beat Limerick, actually.
Oh, and Limerick swatted.
They were so good.
Limerick are tip aside. Yeah.
This is an interesting game for Kilkenny's title credentials, because they actually pushed Limerick fairly hard. People forget last year.
Mm.
But at the same time, I thought against Galway, Kilkenny looked well off it. Now, the theory is that they have brought in these players to make the difference this year. I'm not convinced they're title contenders, but Limerick are at it at the moment.
Yeah.
And Limerick, Kilkenny will have to be at it to have any chance of beating them. It's going to be a great atmosphere at that game as well, I'd say.
Yeah, I think both teams are going to play with, you know, the way in football they talk about blanket defences, blanket midfields.
Mm.
You know, you just isolate your two or three forwards up around the 14-21, bring everyone else around the middle area. So
is that the kind of hot take in hurling now? Blanket midfields.
Well, I've just coined it there based on my thought process yesterday.
But is it a thing?
That is the thing.
Blanket
absolutely.
Midfield.
Right. Well.
So
a blanket midfield, as I would see it, is that you would keep your two or three forwards, depending on how many you want, inside in a triangle shape, whatever way you want to do it, and you bring everyone else out towards midfield to try and draw out the opposition half back line, so there is no cover in front of them.
Okay.
And if you can hit a nice ball in, they just have
the 3v3 inside.
Yeah, at both ends of the field with these two teams. That's
but imagine how crammed the middle area then is.
That's exactly the thing. So this would be a real dogfight. There'll be huge tackle counts. There'll be huge turnover counts. So it's a very hard one to call. But Limerick have just developed such a brilliant way of playing. They're so good with the ball, and they've got.
Well, and you know the biggest thing they have. Youth and energy and all that and hunger. And people suggesting last year, like the one thing that always, I suppose, the argument that's made against anyone who's successful or wins something, it's very hard to repeat it. Will the hunger be gone? I don't think it'll affect them lads at all. No.
I think we were guilty of that, though. I think we talked about the league and the championship a bit earlier in the year, and we kind of said Limerick have been out celebrating, they'll enjoy this one. And who knows where they'll end up this year. Probably going to be very hard to reproduce, but look like they're on for it at the moment. 5-6 in a game like this is surprising as well. 6-5 at home for Kilkenny is a very, very interesting one, and there's 1 point in the handicap.
Yeah, winning in Nolan Park would be quite a statement as well.
Yeah, it is a hard, very hard place for our opposition to win, but I would be wary of Galway 1-3 against Dublin as well. Galway are just kind of...
What's going on with them, Johnny?
Well, it's probably just slow enough start to season. They're experimenting with a few players.
A lot of players with NUAG as well.
Yeah.
You mentioned Limerick being at it. There's a sense of Dublin being a bit at it as well.
Absolutely.
When Galway maybe aren't. So as you said, 1-3 is a big crisis.
See, the problem for Dublin is that they had... DCU went to extra time during the week against UCC and 10 Dublin players were part of the panel that featured during that game. Mm. Now, some of them only played a couple of minutes, but it's very hard for them to turn around and now get on the road and play against Galway. These two teams don't like each other, by the way. There's been there's even been a scuffle off the field that hasn't been talked about, and I can't reveal any more. You haven't given me any scandal from your days with Leeds, and God knows how much scandal there's there with the likes of Lee Boyer and all them boys. But
he would feature all right, Jack.
Yeah. Maybe you'll give us one next week.
So I
don't know. I'd probably go with Galway there just because Dublin are under such
pressure. You couldn't hate them with a 1-3 though. You'd have to think about the handicap.
Four points in the handicap.
Even money, Galway -4 and 10-11 Dublin +4.
Dublin will get inside the handicap, but I think Galway will just about squeak through here. I think we've it all said, lads. Bets of the week.
I'll go with that Joseph O'Brien one on this Sunday in the Ladbrokes Boyne Hurdle. The Rasso 11-2 I think is still a big price at the moment, and I just think
what's his name, Dick?
De Rasso 11-2, and I just think UCD are too big. I think I'll have to have a bet on that 4-1.
I'd be sweet on St. Pat's, very sweet in St. Pat's. Cerberus to win at Dundalk, and I'd probably put in Limerick in the treble. I think they're around 4-5.
I'd have, well, it's a long term one, but Hoban a 5-2 to be the top scorer, I think, is a great bet.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I think it's a great bet. And for the weekend, I have a League of Ireland double, so I'd go Dundalk -1 with Bohemians at home to Finn Harps. It'd be a double. We didn't mention Bohemians, but I think they should be able to, even though there's been a lot of change, I think they're capable of beating Finn Harps. And I'd back Chelsea to beat United in the cup.
Yeah, you're going to put that in the treble?
Yeah, if you want to go treble, but definitely the League of Ireland double is my big fancy tomorrow.
I go with United in the cup, and I'll go with Mullinocta to be inside the handicap with Crokes, and I think Limerick away as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Happy days.
We'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, lads.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.